Hey, good evening. Tonight is Shabbos week, because there's a Shabbos this week. So we're on to Psik Reisha for tonight. If I remember, I have to check the list again. I think our topic next week is Rov, Ruba de Issa Kaman, Ruba de Lessa Kaman, things like that. Just next week's a general week. But tonight for Shabbos, so we're going to talk a little bit, very briefly really, just a very quick table of contents of discussions within the concept of Psik Reisha. And Psik Reisha is really a term that's modifying another concept, and that's Davar Sheinu Miskaven. Davar Sheinu Miskaven, the Gemara really tells us in Beitza, and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, that there, the opinion of Reb Shimon, against Reb Yehuda, the opinion of Reb Shimon is that it's permissible for somebody to schlep a table, to schlep a chair, a bench, across the field, even though it's going to happen that it's going to create a furrow, it's going to create a chritz. While he's doing that, since he's not intending to do that, and assuming that that's the case, that he's not intending to do that, to provide shalom yiskavim, so then that's okay, it's davar sheinu miskaven. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda's only makel in a situation where it's not likely to happen. So we see from here the two basic positions, that according to Reb Shimon, so a davar sheinu miskaven is mutter on Shabbos. If something's going to happen out of what you're doing, so then that's mutter. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that even the fact that you're not intending it doesn't help, it's still going to be prohibited. When we discussed Malacha Shenetzricha L'Gufa a few weeks ago, so we discussed the way the Kesef Mishnah explains the difference between Malacha Shenetzricha L'Gufa and Psik Reisha, and we'll mention that again now. I'm sorry, Malacha Shenetzricha L'Gufa and Davar Sheinu Miskaven, and we'll mention that again now. That basically a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is a situation when you are doing the malacha, you're doing the act of the malacha, but the reason, the purpose that you're doing it for is not l'gufa. What l'gufa means is a machlokas rishonim. We saw at least two or three shitas in rishonim how to understand what the purpose of a malacha is. But if you're doing it for a different purpose, then it becomes a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. And the davar sheino miskaving, that's really a situation where you're doing one thing, and something else is going to happen because of what you're doing. So, strictly speaking, you can differentiate them in that way. And then a psik reisha helps to illustrate the difference, because psik reisha, we'll talk about it more in a second, but psik reisha means that the secondary event has a close to 100% chance of happening. Just as a chicken that you want to remove its head, so you want to remove its head for some other purpose, but at the end of the day, it has a 100% chance of dying. Now, the fact that such a thing is even an issue helps us to differentiate between Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa and Davar Sheinu Miskaven, because theoretically the term wouldn't be relevant by a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, because it's always going to happen, because you're doing that Malacha. You're doing a Malacha, you're just doing it for a different purpose. So there's no point talking about what are the odds of a Malacha happening. It will for sure happen. It's just a question of what your intent is. That's a rough definition. That's the way the Kesef, I guess, that's the way the Kesef Mishnah sees it. As you may see, as you look through some Makoros, there is overlap, and there are areas in which one could question really how to categorize something. Is the terminology Psik Reisha appropriate, or the terminology Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa appropriate? And it certainly is overlap, but for at least some purposes and at least some views, that's enough of a rough distinction to get us off the ground. Michelle. Right. So like, to give the classic examples in the Gemara, just to use one or two things, even though each case is always details that are being debated, but just to abstract from these cases, so let's say, for our purposes, that dragging the chair across the field, that's a case of Davar Sheinu Miskaven, because you'd be perfectly happy if the chair would glide across the field. It just happens to be that you can't do it that way, so when you pull it, it's going to fall and it's going to create these furrows. But you have no interest in creating the furrows at all. You'd be perfectly happy if they weren't being created. It's going to happen because that's what you're doing, so that's a Davar Sheinu Miskaven. While Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, let's say, again, even though this is an imperfect example also, but you're digging a hole, and you're not really interested in the hole, you're interested in the dirt. So the act of digging, you're doing 100%. You are doing the digging. It's just that your interest in what you're doing is not in the hole itself, it's in the dirt. Okay, fine. So this issue of Davar Sheino Misgavein, so we see Machlokas in the Gemara whether it's Mutter or Asur on Shabbos. And according to Re, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, so it's Asur. And that seems to be the opinion we're concerned about within modifications, or actually maybe not, because maybe it's from Shimon with modifications we're concerned about. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, when he says it's Asur, so is that really an Isser min HaTorah, or is that a Drabbat? And that itself is a Machlokas Rishon in Rashi and Shabbos. And Tosas and Shabbos and Amalaf Midbeis and in other places seem to understand that he's only talking about Midrabanan. Well, the Shidim Mekubetzes, he's quoting the Rashba, perhaps others see it as an actual Isser Daraisa. Even a Davar Sheino Misgaveh is an Isser Daraisa. Now, within these positions again, so then it's a question, are we really talking about Shabbos or are we talking about all Isserim? Because the concept of a Davar Sheino Misgaveh is something that wouldn't necessarily have to be tied down to Shabbos. It's something that comes up in other contexts as well. There are other Isurim that I could do tangentially. And again, the concept of Psik Reisha will be relevant there also. So this whole debate, is it about Shabbos or is it about everything? So that's something we'll discuss in a second. Tosus and Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud, according to She'iltas, says as far as practical purposes is concerned, says Halacha is like Reb Shimon, that we're Mekel only on Shabbos, but with other Isuri Torah, then the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So why would there be a difference when it comes to Shabbos and everything else? So presumably we smell the scent of Melachas Machshavos here, and that is a potential issue as we'll discuss in a second. Another major issue that's debated in Rishonim, so we know once we talk about Psik Reisha, so Psik Reisha is a modification of the Davar Sheino Misgaveh situation. But we know there's another step to discuss, the step, of course, of Nichale and Lo Nichale. And on that topic, you find at least three positions in Rishonim as well, that presumably we need some level of Nichale for the Psik Reisha to count. But according to Rashi and Dafayin Hei Yimra Aleph, so it doesn't have to be an active Nichale. It also accounts if it's what we call Lo Ichbisle. That if you're okay with it, you just don't care one way or another, you're not opposed. So lo ichbisle is also considered nichale. It's only if it's lo nichale that it's not going to count. While Tosfos quotes the Aruch, who disagrees with that and says that no, psik reisha has to be actively nichale, and ichbisle is like no nichale, and lo nichale, according to the Aruch, is mutter. Mutter min haTorah, mutter min drabanan is mutter. And Tosfos quotes the Ri that that's actually not the case, that it's a psik reisha lo nichale would be asa mid drabanan. So basically you have three opinions as far as well, you kind of branch off. Right. Lo ichbisle is like lo nichale, lo ichbisle is nichale, lo ichbisle is not nichale, and not nichale is mutter, and not nichale is also mejabot. Now, within the Aruch, so again you have a debate among Rishonim who quote the Aruch, whether he's talking about Shabbos or whether he's talking about everything else. A number of Rishonim assume he's talking only about Shabbos. It's the position of the Rush and the Rajba and the Ran and Shmona Shratzim. All assume he's talking about Shabbos. While, presumably the issue with Malachas Machshavos. While, from the Tosfos that quotes the Aruch, it doesn't seem to be the case, because the examples that Tosfos is giving is not necessarily Shabbos issues. Kesitas Beheres is one of the examples in cutting off a Beheres for purposes of Milah. This is the context of the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. And the Din of Mizalfin Yayin Al Gabe Yishim, and they pour the wine for the Korban on top of the Mizbeach, so it's going to extinguish the flames, which is independently an Isser. So that's a discussion of Psik Reisha, but it's not a function of Shabbos, it's a function of Hilchos Beis HaMikdash. Nonetheless, so we find that discussion there as well, and discussion of whether Makom Mitzvah is Mutter. So that whole discussion seems to presume we're not necessarily talking about Shabbos. So it's Machlokas and Rishonim whether the Aruch is talking about Shabbos or about general Isurim. And so this, as the Achronim explain, Rabbi Warman has an essay about this, and others explain as well, that really this goes to the question of why is Davar Sheino Misgaveh an issue to begin with? Why should we say that Davar Sheino Misgaveh has any type of a Ptura attached to it? So that could come from two angles. On the one hand, it could be a Kavana issue in general, maybe B'chol HaTorah Kula. So Kavana makes a difference. When it comes to mitzvahs, we know that there are different categories. You can do a mitzvah with kavana, you can do a mitzvah without kavana, you can do a mitzvah without even knowing you're doing anything. It's what we call misasik. And misasik very often is less than no kavana, it's nothing at all. And the word literally connotes you're involved in something else and incidentally this happens. You know, misasik, you're busy with something and incidentally this happens. So that might really be what's going on here, klapei v'iser. Normally we're talking about that term when it comes to mitzvahs. But maybe that's what's relevant here also. You're doing action A, action B comes out of it, so you're really a misasik. You have no intention to be doing that. And maybe b'chol ha'tara kula, that's the p'tur. Maybe that's really something that doesn't make the grade no matter what. Or maybe that's not the issue, because at the end of the day, you know what's going to happen. If you don't know what's going to happen, then what are we even talking about? You know that it's something that's potentially could be happening, so it doesn't really have the exemption of misasik. But maybe it's an issue of malachas machshavas. So that's part of the question here. What really is under the surface as far as why there would even be a p'tur of davar she'eino misgaven? Is it because of some kind of kol torah kula d'ksvara of misasik? Or is it something specific to Shabbos, an issue of malachas machshavas? Reb Chaim has an essay about this in Hilchos Shabbos where he explains that in general misgaven has two types of dinim. He suggests that there's a function of kavana and ratzon. You want to do something on purpose. That's a kol torah kula d'ksvara. And then within Shabbos, there's malachas machshavas. That just requires that you have some type of consciousness of what's going on. So the different interpretations of the aruch are going to be affected by this question: What exactly is it that we're addressing here? Why is this different, by the way, than any type of action the shogeg? If you're not really trying to do that action, you're trying to do something else. So why is that not called shogeg? So this is something the Ritva takes up. Ritva, whose name is going to come up a lot, he's allowed to say on this topic in different places. The Ritva in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where he basically explains that a davar she'eino misgaven is a situation where you're involved in something that's mutter, and together something that's aser happens. And the two actions could be completely separate in theory. And when it comes to shogeg, you weren't trying to do a maisa at all. The whole maisa is completely without your intent. So that maybe is a little bit more forgivable. But here there's more to talk about because you're doing something on purpose. And there's something else that comes with it. So a chakir of the Achronim ask that goes with this question is basically, how do we understand the chiyuv of psik reisha? If psik reisha is something that gets you obligated when maybe you wouldn't have been, gets you chayiv when maybe you wouldn't have been, so what exactly is the nature of this chiyuv? Is it because through the psik reisha it becomes like it's intentional? That even if it's not intentional, but if it's something that's vada going to happen, so then you basically have to treat it as it's intentional? Or is that not what's going on? And here, Achronim have different ways of saying it. Either you could say that it's basically just a gzeres hakasa of the yachayim from psik reisha, even though it's still not what you're trying to do. Different Achronim phrase it that way. Sorry, what's the pasuk? It's a good question. How we straight? I mean, the Gemara is telling us that that's the din. So how with the mucker in the Torah? Okay, it's a good question. How you put the because we have to have. All right, we have to figure that out. Another way Achronim say it is that it's not that it's as if you're intending to do it because of psik reisha. It's just the chiddush of psik reisha is that when one thing automatically causes something else, so then they're both joined. So your intent to do the first thing counts for your intent to do the second thing. Right, so that's it may sound like a subtle difference, but it's really a different thing. Like, do we say the first possibility, which is the way Reb Chaim seems to understand it really, do we say that the fact that you knew what's going to happen makes it as if you're intending to do that, so therefore it's no longer a davar she'eino misgaven. It's now a normal avera. Or do we say, no, maisa, you're still not intending to do that, but this now, because when it's automatic, it piggybacks onto the first thing. And so now your intent to the first thing covers the second thing. And that's relevant when we're back to that definition that we mentioned about the Kesef Mishnah's definition distinguishing between Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa and Davar She'en Misgaven. So we mentioned at that time something the Kajuk Lava Rav writes in his Sefer, in the Eretz Tzvi, which is relevant to this beer as well, because there the Kajuk Lava addresses the issue that if a malacha shenitzricha l'gufa is a case where you're doing the malacha, just doing it for the wrong reason, and a davar shenimaskavin is where you're doing something else, and that brings about another action that's asa, so I would think that the worst one, the one that's more likely to get you chayiv, is the malacha shenitzricha l'gufa. There you're actually doing the malacha, you're just doing it without the right intent. But, and in the case of the davar shenimaskavin, you're not doing it at all, it's happening through something else. So why is it that halachically it seems that davar shenimaskavin is more likely to get you chayiv than malacha shenitzricha l'gufa? So the Kadosh Baruch Hu Rav explains that we understand that to be chayiv and Shabbos you need an action and you need machshavas. In an action you need the intent. So when it comes to malacha shenitzricha l'gufa, so you have the action, but you don't have the intent. The intent's not available. It's being used in a different direction. So you're missing the ingredient. But when it comes to a davar shenei miskaven, so you have your initial action that you're doing with intent, and since we're now connecting them, so now that initial action is taking that intent, and the intent covers both. So that type of explanation is really going like the second beer, that basically the effect of stick ratio is to create a piggyback sort of thing, so that it's as if you did them all together, it's as if this is all one big action. And the action that you did unintentionally, or you did secondarily, it's all stuffed into the first action, so the intent you have to do that action counts for this action. So this is a question how to understand it. Nelson Gestetner, in his Chuvis, quotes an earlier discussion in Achronim, that this would also affect the question of, what if you have something that's not any question of Isser, it's a question of Rishus? Without going into the details, the example we're talking about, because it's complicated and we're trying to be brief, but let's say, for example, Hechsher Tumah. If you're going to Machsher something with Kabel Tumah, so that requires you doing something on purpose. So let's say you do it as a psik ratio. We're not talking about Issa V'Hetta here. We're talking about just whether or not the consequences of Hechsher Tumah, Hechsher for Tumah are there. So if psik ratio makes it as if it's intentional, so then even an unintentional act that was a psik ratio would count. But if it's just some type of Isser Hischaivis that we're talking about that comes through some type of Xeris Akasiv or some type of piggybacking, so then it wouldn't necessarily be the case that we would extend this concept to issues that are not about Isser. You're not so convinced. Because maybe it's not about but the other dinim that need intent, right? If a Chiddush is that this is intent, so then good. But if it's not about this creates intent, but this creates a hischaivus for some other reason, so then in Lamaisa you don't have intent. It can be combined, but you still don't have, you still not call something that you're doing on purpose. So this affects a number of other issues. This is a question in Achronim. The Chaim seems to take the Miskavein point of view, or Shemishkap and the Shari Osher seem to take the piggyback type of view. And this affects a number of things. For example, sorry? Okay, why are we expecting, what are you referring to? Which Bukhan? Tzubis? So therefore, explain. Okay. And if you say... I don't recall. Sounds good. Okay. Okay, so just to... quickly go through some of the issues again, because I have a little bit restricted time, but just go through some of the issues that are affected by this. So it is a question, some Rishonim suggest that psik resha only applies if you can't do it any other way. But if you could do it another way, so then psik resha is not machayevi. Which seems a little bit like a backwards kind of thing, because it means that basically you should be more responsible for it, because you're kind of choosing to do it. Right, if you have another option, so normally that should get you in more trouble. Unless you say the vort is that sikresha is about creating something that's connected, and therefore it's only connected when this is the only way to do it. But if there's another way to do it, so then it's not automatically connected. Now Chronin points to a Rush in Psachim that sounds like this. The Rush in Psachim says that that he's talking about getting Hana from Avodah Zarah. He's talking about smelling in Avodah Zarah. And there he says, so it's not really a Psik Reisha because they were going to make you responsible for when you hang out with the Avodah Zarah, near the Avodah Zarah, because you could hold your nose. So I found a mask, but Maisa, if you're not holding your nose, so then why should you be potter for that? So the point is apparently it's only a Psik Reisha when there's no other way to do it. So the fact that you have a way out makes it not a Psik Reisha. And again, from this normal act of, if the Svara was Kavana, so I would have thought, oh, that's worse, so here you're getting yourself in more trouble. But if it's some kind of piggybacking idea, then maybe the board of the Psik Reisha is only created when it's a direct, automatic connection. Which Rashi Menachem? Right, yeah, they talk about, right, so when you talk about the Mezalf and Yayin things, right, so some of the Rishon discussed that also, that pouring the wine on the Mizbeach, so that doesn't have to happen either, because in theory you could drop very small drops and you wouldn't extinguish any flames. So therefore, maybe it's only a Psik Reisha because it's possible to do it otherwise. Right, that's what I'm sorry. Right, right. The discussion whether big chairs or small chairs. So, right, that's where some of the discussion in Rishonim is. That is indeed correct. So there's another major issue in Rishonim, whether or not Psik Reisha applies to Dinim Derabbanan. You have a din derabbanan, so does there, and it's happening through a psik reisha, so is that usur? Doesn't make sense to talk about chayiv, because you're not chayiv anyway, if you do it on purpose, but if you, but is it usur? So, the Trumas Adeshin has a tshuva in which he's mati this, although some achronim debated how exactly to understand the Trumas Adeshin, the Vilna Gaon thought it means only if the situation of trade derabbanan. And a number of Rishonim agreed with him, and the Meiri, and then the latest far, and the Shah HaMelech, and again, as Rabbi Shechta said, the word from our sponsor, Yitzchak Chanan, in the Tshuvas Ber Yitzchak, which you have at length in the packet, so you can take a look there. So he comes out that you can be Mekel with Rabbanan, even if it's Nicholai, or more so if it's not Nicholai. So that's a discussion, because there were a number of Poskim who were Machmir, also a number of Rishonim who were Machmir. And the Magen Avraham in Poskim is considered to be the dominant voice on the Machmir side. Many present this as the Machok the Trumas Adeshin and the Magen Avraham. The Trumas Adeshin is the one being Mekel and the Magen Avraham being Machmir. So that's a question. But Rishonim, and both before and after this, we talked about Rishonim argued on it, Achronim argued on it. But the standard bearers seem to be the Trumas Adeshin and the Magen Avraham. And this, as many have suggested, may be relevant to this question as well. That if Psik Reisha means that basically cancels out Davar Sheinu Misgavein, so it's as if you just did something on purpose, so then it sounds good to get you in trouble for a Din D'Rabbanan. So you can't do a Din D'Rabbanan, you can't do an Esa D'Rabbanan. And if it's Davar Sheinu Misgavein, so maybe it's like you're not doing it on purpose, but then Psik Reisha is like you are doing it on purpose, so it's just cancel each other out, so it should be Usur. While if it's some svar about piggybacking, then maybe there's some room to distinguish between derais and drabanans as how that applies. And the Sefer Primoshe points out that sounds good, but it doesn't work with lashikasims. Because the Ritva, for example, the Ritva is makel on this, but he's pretty close to explicit that it's the kavana type svar that's going on. So if it's a Kavana type Svar, so we just said that should work even for Drabanans, so then why does the Ritva come out on both sides of the fence saying that it's Kavana, but saying that the Drabanans are Mutter? So the Prevotion wants to suggest that this brings us to our famous Nesivus, that maybe this is related to the famous comment of the Nesivus HaMishpat, that he doesn't actually explain what he means by that. I think what he means by that is as follows, that as we discussed many times in this room, that the Nesivus has a Chiddush, which is related to the point that Yisur and Drabanan are viewed by many Achronim as Yisurei Gavra, while the Yisurei Deraisa are understood to be Yisurei Chepza, for the most part. So if you have a piece of Treifus Minatoris, there's an Yisur in the object, and if you have a piece of Treifus Drabanan, there's no Yisur in the object, there's only an Yisur on the guy. So for the nichle object, for the action which is really happening independent of you, for that to take on a status of its own, to give it kavana, so if it's a daraisa, so then it can have its own independent force coming to bring it into kavana. But if it's something that's drabbanon anyway, so then to say that this object, this action is going on its own to create the kavana, so maybe that's too much to say. So maybe that's what the Ritz is thinking, that you could split it and still use the kavana svar, and still say it only applies to deraisas, because maybe that only works when you're dealing with things that inherently usher and could have their own mechanism to create kavana without you providing it. Okay, there is an interesting issue, which seems like a non-issue. So what about suffik segresh? You'll say to me, that sounds like a stira, right? So isn't segresh by the very definition is not a suffik? Right, so that's what it sounds like. That's what the Taz expresses in one place, that the suffix segresha is not a suffix. But it's not so pashut, because there are concepts of suffix segresha. Because you have a situation like, for example, if you're going to have a tzad situation, a situation of trapping an animal, you're going to do something which is going to create a trap to close shut, but you don't know that there's an animal in there. So it's a segresha on the action of tzad, except that the tzad may not actually have the conditions to be fulfilled. You know, this comes up with let's say, Zriya type things. Right? So normally we know that to water plants is problematic because it's going to create the plants to grow. But let's say you have a situation, which Postman discussed, this comes up a lot also, where you're going to drop water on the floor. But so that's definitely going to happen. So that what we've termed as an act of Zriya is for sure going to happen. But whether or not that's really going to do anything for the water, or do anything for the plants, maybe there's a suffix about that. So that's like a question whether or not there is a din of suffix segregation. And it also comes up in other contexts. For example, Taz quotes from the tour that, back to this tzad example, so to close a chest of drawers, something like that, to close a box that may or may not have flies in it. So that's mutter because you're not intending to trap the flies. And even though it seems like it's a psik ratio, so maybe there's no flies in it. So Bekiva Eger disagrees with this, or he asks Akasha on this, because there is a din in Shulchan Aruch that it's not appropriate to stick around in the fire under a pot which a guy is cooking in, because it's very likely that he's cooking basar b'chalav. But maybe he's not cooking basar b'chalav. So it could be there's a distinction between a suffix that's true right now, like either there is basar b'chalav in there right now or there isn't, or the psikresha situation we've been talking about, where we call it a psikresha regarding what's going to happen in the future. So it could be that if something is going on right now, we have to be machmer for it. While the psikresha where we can pilpul about nichole or not nichole, that's talking about things that are going to happen in the future. So it could be that that's also related to the svar. That maybe if something is going on right now, so then that automatically creates a connection no matter what. So as far as the piggyback svar, so then there's no room to be makel if something is possibly going on right now. But as far as kavanah is concerned, if you're not intending to address it, so then nichalei or not nichalei should still be an issue. So that's another issue that may be affected by this. Again, I have to keep it brief tonight, so I'll just mention one or two other issues that are out there. So one of the popular issues that comes up as far as segregation, I'm certainly not going to paskin, but just to be aware of one of the famous issues. So opening Svarim library books that have writing on the pages, so that's a big issue that post can talk about. First of all, it's a question whether or not that's called mochek. Magen Avraham quotes from the Tshuva Sarama that it's not even called mochek because the pages are meant to be open and closed, and that's the way it's constructed. But on the other hand, he quotes from Lubavush that no, this is really very close to an Issa D'Oraisa. The Magen Avraham himself was machmer on this, but he quotes the Knesset Gedolah was Mekel. And the Taz writes, this is Davar Shein HaMisgaving, And then the question of whether we'll call this a psik reisha or a psik reisha d'lo nichalei or d'rabbanan or all of that, so all of these svaris come into play in that, and that's a discussion that many poskim have. And many poskim are makel for various reasons on this. The tshuva about this in the Yad Sofer, the tshuva about this in the Emre Sofer, a Chazon Ish discussion. Many poskim are makel towards this issue, many amachmer also. But many feel that the various issues that you have within psik reisha, the rabbanan, the sfeikus, and all of that, play a role as far as this is concerned. There is also a Gur Aryeh, Maral, commenting in the Gemara and Shabbos that many quote that the tshuva about this in the Lev Avram, Asker Shtetner has tshuvas about this, that psik reisha means something's got to happen immediately. If it's going to happen later on, so that doesn't count. And he comments on the Gemara about Zoma v'tzarech la'etzim, that you have to have intent for the tzmicha. You have to have intent to help the tree grow, because otherwise to say it's psik reisha, it's definitely going to help the tree grow, is not going to work, because the growth happens much later. And anything that happens far removed from the action is not called a psik reisha. So later Achronim explained this based on the language of the Rambam in discussing psik reisha, that since he's it has to happen, if it may possibly not happen, then it's not a psik reisha. So any time you're going to have a time lag, so then it may not happen. So if it may not happen because of the time lag, that's enough, the way the Maral understands and a lot of Achronim quote him, to undermine the psik reisha. Just mention one more issue, and I apologize for the rush, just mention one more issue that may be on people's minds, and it's also a little bit of an unresolved point in Achronim. We talk about Nichalei and not Nichalei, so why don't we just say that any firm person is automatically going to be a low nichalei no matter what, because he doesn't want to be over the issur. So if you have a situation that's going to create any type of malacha, and somebody is concerned about that from a halachic point of view, so do we say low nichalei machmas issur is good enough? So there's a strong svar to say that it shouldn't. A strong svar to say that clearly we have to define everything independently of itself, and that looking at this action and seeing is it something we would want in theory or not. And then if it is, then we get in trouble from Hilchos Shabbos. We don't look at it saying, well, since I want to be Shomer Shabbos, so therefore it's automatically the Nichalei. But this is something that Poskim talked about. The Hisayrus Tshuva has a Tshuva where he's not really sure how to come out about this. And he leaves it a little bit of a suffix. Father Meister, Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and his Tshuvas, so he brings rayas from other areas of Halacha, that just because what we call Eino Nichalei Machmas Isser, the fact that you're not interested in being over an Isser, that's not enough to create a Lo Nichalei, and we view everything independently and of itself, and if this is something that's desirable to you in that context, so that's considered to be a Nichalei. Okay, so just quickly summarize the points that we just introduced. We talked about the issue of Davar Sheinu Miskaven, the fact that Machlokas or Rebbe Yehuda Shimon, whether or not Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Mutter or not. There's a Machlokas according to Rebbe Yehuda, who's Machmer, is he Machmer in a Torah or Machmer de Rabbanan. And then we talked about distinctions between Shabbos and other Isurim, and the lack of clarity as to what exactly is being referred to here. We mentioned the three Shittas in Rishonim about Rashi saying that Lo Ichbis Leh is considered to be like Nichalei. The Aruch who says Lo Ichbis Leh is not good enough, it's got to be Mamish Nichalei, and Lo Nichalei is Mutter, and Tosa saying Lo Nichalei is also Midrabanan. And then we discussed the Machlokas about the Aruch, where the Aruch is talking about Shabbos or about other Isurim, and we discussed this goes to the root of what Davar Sheinu Miskaven is about. Is it a Ptur in Misasek, or is it a Ptur in Melachas Machsheves? We mentioned Reb Chaim's discussion. We talked a little bit about the difference between Davar Sheinu Miskaven and Shogeg. And then we talked about the general question, Achronim, how do we view the whole nature of the Chiv of Psik Reisha? Is it because that cancels out the Eino Miskaven and makes it as if it's Miskaven? Or is it some type of a Chiddush or some type of a piggyback type idea that if you're doing something that's definitely going to cause something else, then it becomes connected? And we mentioned that second svar seems to be implicit in the Kajik Lover's explanation of the Kesef Mishnah's distinction between Psik Reisha and Davar Sheinu Miskaven and Melacha Sheinu Tzrich L'Gufa. And we discussed about the issue in Achronim that Nosson Gishtetner quoted about something that's not a question of Isser. So is Psik Reisha going to make a difference there? And we talked about how this affects a couple of other things, such as, for example, the idea in some Rishonim that Tzik Reisha only applies if there's no other way you could do it. If there's another way you could do it, then it's not Tzik Reisha, and how that seems counterintuitive, but how, based on one side, we can maybe understand that. And the issue of Tzik Reisha by Drabbanan, Machlokes the Trumas Hadesh and the Magen Avraham, that many others before and after were involved in. And we talked about the issue of Suffolk Tzik Reisha, and the difference between the Suffolk that's addressed by Tzik Reisha concerning the future, as opposed to a Suffolk going on right now, which may be more Machmir. I should mention, actually, one other point that I skipped before, but some Achronim also raise the issue, if you have something that's Karav Levadai, do we view that as a Tzik Reisha or not? Because the Gemara has an expression that Abaye cursed somebody who would open a door in front of a candle, because it'd be very likely to blow out the candle. So does that mean to suggest that it's really usur or not? So a number of Rishonim seem to understand that it's just bad to do, but it's not really mamash of Tzik Reisha. So that also may relate to the previous question, that it could be that you need vados in order to build kavan out of nothing. But as far as piggybacking, so maybe piggybacking can get away with even a less than 100% connection. And then we also talked about just that one practical issue about the books, and that the machlokas of poskim about opening pages that have letters written on them, and the difference as far as you make it before you come out to Tzik Reisha, and then the issue of Devon Shen and Miskavein, and the difference as far as that poskim used to make about that, about whether it's the Rabbana and the Machlok Mitzvah for learning Svarim, and things like that, in a second. And then we talked also about the idea of the Tzik Reisha doesn't happen automatically. The Maharal's Chiddush that he says in the context of Zomer Vein and Zomer Vesarach Leitzim, that you need Kavana for the Smicha, otherwise the Tzik Reisha is not going to do it because it's too much of a divide, and how that seems to interfere with the Tzik Reisha element, that if there's time passing, then maybe it won't necessarily happen. And then we also talked about the issue of Eino Nichalei Machmas Isser. Does that make a difference, the fact that you don't want to be over Yisurim? So can we say that that's something to create a lo nichalei? And Hisaris Shuva earlier was nostalgic about this, and in more recent days, the Shlomo Zalman and others wrote, which is probably what we would have guessed, that we view each issue by itself, and to say nichalei machmas iser is not something that can create a lo nichalei. Okay, so...